Welcome to Postcast. The Utah Jazz fall in one of the most incredible comebacks in NBA history. Russell Westbrook takes over. The Jazz offense falls apart. And what does it mean going forward? We'll touch on those coming up on Postcast. Well, Ron, the Utah Jazz had this, it seemed. The Jazz led this game 71-46. We were heading to Houston for game one. Russell Westbrook, I'd have to go look at the exact play-by-play, but pulled up and hit two threes. And next thing we knew, it was on.
Yeah, the run was on. You know, that's for sure. And then Paul George picks up things. It was only Paul George and Russell Westbrook in that fourth quarter special. I think two other players had 2 points, but those two guys just put on a show. It's amazing how a team can get on fire and the momentum has shifted and they seem to do everything right and make every shot. You know, we've witnessed that with the Jazz on a number of occasions, but you know, we haven't seen much like this in a long time, you know, where two guys just, you know, take over a ball game.
Ron, the Jazz signature during the 19-0 run that happened to them here in Game 2 was we didn't even know it was a 19-0 run. They felt this one.
Yeah, they really did. I mean, this was something that the Jazz will, I mean, the players especially, and coaches too, will look back and just wonder, you know, what happened. Because it was a barrage of things that hit them. And then on their offensive end of the floor, I mean, they just could not get the comfortable, uncontested shots and then get to the point where they were playing late in the shot clock, David, and that's not Jazz basketball.
All right, let's break down a few things here and try to figure out what happened and how many of those items are long-lasting. Like, did the series just completely swing tonight, or did one guy have an unbelievable night? So let's start with the unbelievable night aspect of things. How remarkable a night was this? You've been in this league, around this league, for 50 years. How incredible what you just saw from Russell Westbrook.
Well, it was incredible. It was really probably one of the best performances I've seen, you know, in quite some time, especially, you know, since I've been doing broadcasting. But it's you know, you have players with such great talent like that can take over a basketball game. But, man, the barrage that he put on, especially when there was no answer to him, it's unbelievable. Has it shifted? I'd say no right now, you know, because you still have to do the same thing at home. What we saw in game one was Paul George take over a ball game. And then what we saw here tonight was Russell Westbrook take over a ball game. And that's been the only way that they've been able to win, is one guy taking over a ball game. So we'll see what happens in game two.
All right, well, let's walk through some of the X's and O's, because there are some real things that happened in this game that leads me to be a little more concerned than you are. Russell gets going, but then when we go into the fourth quarter, it becomes a little bit more of a half-court game, and they just go to the Steven Adams-Russell Westbrook pick-and-roll that we thought they were going to go to the entire time. Like, we've been waiting for this all series long, and this Gobert drops. Russell's going to get to the elbow. He's going to get an open look. That's kind of the Jazz defense. It looks so easy.
Well, it looks so easy because they're, you know, switching all over the floor. And again, they had the Jazz playing late in the shot clock again, playing one-on-one basketball, which is not what they like to do. Now, you expect to see Grant a little bit more in the next ball game because he's one that can defend out there on the perimeter more so than Carmelo Anthony. I think you pointed that out. But I'm sure Quinn Snyder is going to come up with something that's going to counter that and to the point where, you know, they can make some things happen. It was a remarkable win for them, you know, obviously. You just hope that the Jazz don't lose that confidence that they had, you know, that they can take this series.
So one of the other things the Thunder did is they stopped playing Carmelo Anthony. He played 24 minutes tonight, I think was the final number. It's much less than he's played in the rest of the series. And when they don't have him on the floor, they're able to play Grant and Abrines, and they switch everything, and the Jazz completely lost their way offensively, searching for mismatches which didn't exist. Alex Abrines was the only poor defender out there, going one-on-one and not running their regular systems. But some of the systems don't work great if you're switching everything.
Well, you can see that it didn't. And so Quinn's going to have to come up with something else because, you know, this, again, adjustments, and you have to counter what your opponents are doing and really try to, you know, to make some things happen offensively. But defensively, they're going to have to make some changes there as well, because Russell Westbrook and Paul George both started to get into the paint and not only get to the basket, but they were making those little mid-range jump shots right there at the free throw line, which is something that's, I think, is a very high percentage shot, but you say that Russell Westbrook is just not that good at it.
Well, he's a 40% mid-range shooter, so you would probably hope over the long term, but there's probably some level it's got to be contested, and some of those weren't even contested.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, Jazz is going to have to come back with something that's going to have to counter that.
How do the Jazz get going off fit? We're not going to see Carmelo for more than 20 minutes a night. That's done. We're not – it's – so how do the Jazz, the defense the Thunder are going to come out and play is going to be a switching defense all across the board, 1 through 5. What do the Jazz do to that?
I like cutters. I like if you can set a good screen and say you get into switch, now that guy that screened you, he cuts and goes down the middle of the lane or something like that. And what you have now is old school passing game, to the point where you're passing go away instead of screen, instead of the dribble handoff screens, you know, that type of thing. And that's really going to, I think, free up some of your shooters. The Golden State Warriors run that, you know, old school passing game where you pass, you go away screen, or you pass and what they call a UCLA cut. And go to the basket. I mean, there's ways to counter things like that to the point where you're not bringing the ball or your man to another defender, if you know what I mean.
The Jazz are not a good one-on-one team. They got stuck into the one-on-one, and that was a large part of it. The real story, though, is the Jazz, 37 points allowed in the third when Russell got going. That got the game into it, and the Thunder never gave up the momentum. You lead 71-46. You should win. It happened 249 times this year in the NBA. Did a team lead by 25? Only 3 teams all year lost before tonight. How psychologically damaging is this to the Jazz?
You know, this hurts. Quinn's going to have to do a masterful job of just convincing their players to just forget about this basketball game now. We have to worry about game 6 and... he's going to have to do a very good job there as well. He's coming up with a pretty good game plan there in game 6 there as well. But, you know, this is just another loss, a loss anyway that definitely going to hurt. But it's a loss that you have to get out of your mind. I mean, you have to forget about just forget about it. You know, it's just hard to explain what to do if you're not a player.
The Thunder star performance – did they learn what they have to do?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That, I'm sure that they're thinking that this is the way we've defeated them 3 times during the course of the year with the type of defense that they're playing. And so getting back to that is probably what we're going to see there in game 6. Their perimeter defense up above the 3-point line, as you mentioned, switching all over the floor because they do have those defenders, is what really helped them win 3 ball games during the course of the year. And we didn't see a lot of that, obviously, because, you know, the game plan was always to attack Carmelo Anthony. You know, we were there in shoot-around. We were there at practice, and that was something they wanted to do. So, again, Quinn Snyder's going to have to come up with something else, you know, to get those good open looks, and I'm sure they can. The guys move the basketball very well, and all they got to do is get the defense scrambling a little bit, and then they can get those shots.
All right, final thing. Gobert's in foul trouble tonight. He gets 4. Then he gets... on offense foul, he gets his 5th. The fans are all complaining about the officiating on our Facebook Live. Did you think the officiating was... I have a tendency to complain about the officials. I don't think I mentioned it in the broadcast a single time tonight.
Well, I didn't see it either. I didn't see anything out of the ordinary as well. I mean, you're gonna get some questionable calls, that's for sure. But I didn't think it was blatantly just something that they're trying to even out, or, you know, as far as what the fans were... Rudy's 5th
was obvious.
Yeah, Rudy's 5th was obvious because he did hook him. And again, he had an excellent chance to kick it back out for a 3-point shot there as well. Keeping and Derek Favors, both of those guys getting the foul trouble, that really hurts.
Well, the Jazz were +7 when Rudy was on the floor. That would be your bright spot of the night looking forward to game 6. It'll be an 8:30 tip-off on Friday night. The arena should be something else. We hope to have you there. If not, join us on the radio call. This has been Postcast as the Jazz fall stunningly to the Oklahoma City Thunder, 107-99, after leading by 25 in what has to be one of the largest comebacks in playoff history. Have a great night. This has been Postcast on Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.